It may not appear like it. It may not look like it. You may not think so, but I'm going to tell you, God's still in control. God's never been out of control. He's never going to be out of control. He wasn't in this particular event. He's not today, and never ever shall He be out of control. God's the one who calls the shots. God's the one who gives the commands. God's the one who's supposed to get all the glory. Amen?
As you look around this world, it sometimes feels like you're all alone. It sometimes feels like, my, there's no hope. But you know what? God is in control. But we need to be there. What does that mean? You're going to find out in this sermon by Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. Sharon Baptist Church is located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina. You can find out directions on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. They're actually near Winecoff Elementary School on the Kannapolis side of 85. We'd love to have you come join us. If you can't make it, we do live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. So what does it mean to be there? Well, it's very important. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Turn please with us in your scriptures to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through, in fact, the whole chapter, 1 through 18. Exodus chapter 24. I'm going to preach a message about being there. And I'm talking about being faithful, being there where the Lord wants us to be at the right time, at the right place, doing what it is that God wants us to do. Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 1. Rather lengthy passage, I won't read it again, so listen carefully and follow along as we read it and follow along with us. And he said unto Moses, who said unto Moses? God did. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, now listen to this next statement they made, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. How long did that last? Verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel laid not his hand, also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. There's my topic. Be there, be there, be there. And I will give thee, tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I know I've shared this before with you, but I want to share this again. Early in my ministry, in fact, it was the first church that I served as an interim pastor for about a year at Grace Baptist in Kannapolis. A senior deacon in that church told me something that I have treasured over the many years since 1974 is when he told me this. And I found it to be true as I have grown older, and hopefully I've matured some over the years. I found it to be more true than really words he said could ever imagine when I heard it the first time. He said this. He said, "Pastor, before you can do anything for the Lord," he said, "you've got to be there." Now, of course, he was talking about being faithful, of course, to the Lord. And I think that's exactly what God's talking to Moses here about. If you go back and look at verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." There's been many down through the years. Biblical examples are some. Some you've known, some I've known. Let me just give you a couple examples of some folks who weren't there where they should have been when God wanted to call on them. Think about it. Go all the way back to the first question that was ever asked in the Bible. Who asked it? God did. To whom did he ask the question? To Adam. And what was the question? "Adam, where art thou?" It's very evident to me Adam was not where he should have been. Adam was not there where God wanted him to be. So that's just a good example. Move on down in the scriptures, and you find King David, while his men had gone off to war. It was a time when kings go with their troops to war. David was back in the palace committing adultery with Bathsheba, one of his footmen soldiers who he had sent off to war. David was not there. He was not where God wanted him. He should have been with his troops. He should have been out there commanding his armies, but yet he wasn't there. So, you know, many times over the years, there's just so many people, Bible examples, others you've known, I've known, who were not there. I ask myself the question as much as I'd ask you, are you there? Do you know you're there? If you're not there, then why aren't you there? Why is it so important that we be there where God wants us to be? Because God said be there. That's good enough for me. What about you? If God said be there, that's okay with me. Listen, God brings us in our lives to certain places and certain points in our lives in his great plan to bring us to a point that God can use us and have us to serve him. Now listen, many are not there. Many were not there. But here you find Moses is there to be there in the place where God wants us to be, for God to speak to us. Listen, it's very important that we be there. Listen. We can experience some of the blessings here that Moses experienced. Not exactly, but spiritually we can. There's blessings involved to God's people by being there, being where God wants you to be, and doing what God wants you to do. I want to review some things from this passage, some blessings which occur to us and recur to us if we're there where God wants us to be. Review, first of all, our covenant. In verses 1 through 8, I won't bother to read all those long, lengthy verses again, but it's a passage where God's on the move. Now listen, beloved, when God's on the move, I want to be where God is, don't you? If God's moving, I want to be in the middle of it, don't you? He was talking about a covenant he had made with Israel. Now, you know what a covenant is. We'll just quickly explain it. A covenant is an agreement between two persons or more that each of them promise certain things, and they promise to keep those promises. Each of those involved in a covenant are agreeing that they promise to do certain things, and they will abide by the terms of that covenant. Here, he talks about a blood covenant. He said, the covenant between you, Israel, and God has been ratified in blood. Now, if you go back in your history, you'll know when that was ratified. It was in Egypt. God had made a covenant he would deliver them from Egyptian bondage. And in that great day when he told them to kill that lamb, take that lamb's blood, shed it on the doorpost and the lintel over that door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That was a blood covenant that God set with Israel. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When God saw the blood, it signified that God's covenant was in effect, that God was satisfied, Israel had been redeemed, and it's done through the blood. Now, we need to bring it on down from that covenant of blood to our covenant of blood today. When was our covenant of blood ratified? All the way back on Calvary. It was the Lamb of God who was hanged on the old rugged cross. It was the precious blood of the Lamb of God that ratified God's salvation. God promised to bring us out of sin's bondage, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, it means that God was satisfied and we are redeemed, and that's good enough. That was good enough in the Old Testament for Israel. That's good enough for us in the New Testament, wouldn't you say? So Moses has the young men to kill the oxen, bring the blood, put the blood in basins. He took half the blood and he poured it on the altar, signifying God was satisfied. Israel had been redeemed. He took the other half of the blood and he sprinkled it on the people, noticing that they had been redeemed. They knew they'd been redeemed by the blood. Redemption was applied to Israel. Redemption was applied to us through the blessed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a price to pay for the ratification of the covenant in the Old Testament. Oh yes, a great price was paid. The price of all those lambs' blood. All those lambs had to die. And then you come down to our blood covenant in the New Testament. The Lamb of God, the Holy Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, God Himself on the cross. He is shedding His own precious blood, the most precious blood that was ever shed. What a price was paid for the covenant to redeem us. We need to be reminded of that from time to time, don't we? Sure we do. It'll help us to be faithful if we're reminded of our covenant, as he reminded Israel here of that blood covenant between them and God. Also, the blessing to us is accrued today to remind us of our call. You look back in verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 12. God called Moses up to the mount. He called the 70 elders. He called the high priest, Aaron, and Nadab and Abihu. And of course, Joshua was mentioned here in that list as well. They were called up to the foot, or to the hill, it says, of the mount. We need to be reminded that we've been called up to God, to the very Mount Zion ourselves. And it says when they went to the hill of that mountain, that they saw God. Now, the Bible's clear. They didn't, with their physical eye, see God, because the Bible says no man's ever seen God and lived. They didn't literally, physically see God. They saw the effects of God, and explains here in the best terms that they knew how, what they'd experienced when they saw God. And in silence, the Bible says, they heard the voice of God. Could you imagine? Could you just imagine the inspiration they would get to hear God? Literally hear the voice of God. We need to be reminded God has called us. How long has it been? Now you have to answer for yourself. How long has it been since you heard a call from God. I'm talking about a call that you didn't have to worry about what it was or who it was. There's no mistake about it. It was God Himself impressing a call about something in your life. How long has it been since you heard from God? I'll tell you a little hint to it. How long it's been that you've heard from God might tell you if you're there or not. Amen? How long has it been since you heard from God? How long has it been since you heard from God in your experience of salvation and God just brought it to your memory how sweet and wonderful it was? How long has it been since you heard the call of God to serve Him, how wonderful and inspiring it was? You see, it's so important that we be there, that we be there. How inspiring to hear from God through His Word. How inspiring to hear from God through music. How inspiring to hear from God through preachers and through messages and through reading the Word of God yourselves. To know that you're where God wants you to be. To know you're there doing and being what God wants you to be. That's a blessing that we have because we're there. We are reviewing our covenant sometimes. We're reminded of our call sometimes. But then when we're where God wants us, we receive the commandments of God. I want you to read verse 12 again. Listen to verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law, and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. It wasn't until Moses was there, till Moses was in the place that God wanted him to be, that Moses was doing what it was that God wanted Moses to do. Then he received the commandments from God. He received the tables of stone. He received the very, I think, the blueprints of the tabernacle. He received the very commandments of God to God's people. And he said to Moses, I'm going to give you these things that you may teach them. Now, I know this is literal to Moses. He got a literal set of stone tablets. I know he got a literal set of commandments from God to teach God's people. But that same truth is true for us spiritually, isn't it? When you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, then you're in a place where God can speak to you from His Word, through His music, through His Word, through His preachers, through the Word itself, through the Holy Spirit of God. He can speak to you and give you the commands of life. God has commands for all of us, and you've got to be there in the place where God wants you, and He'll give you those commandments day by day if you're there where you're supposed to be. You see, we've been appointed as a church. We've been appointed and we've been assigned the duty to do exactly what Moses was assigned to do right here. He said, I'm going to give you these commandments, Moses, and all these commandments, these tables of stone and a law, I'm going to give you these that you may teach the people. Did not Jesus tell us just prior going back to heaven, didn't He say to make disciples of all people and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. So you see, we've been called, just like Moses has been called, to teach the whole truth of God's Word. Listen, we've got to teach the whole truth to people that the whole truth may be received by the people. So you see the blessing, the command of God to us is to teach. To teach. You got to be there. You want to hear from God? You want to teach what God wants you to teach? Then we got to be there. Be there. But another blessing, notice this. We remember our commission, no different than Moses. Teach the Word of God. To do God's will as Moses did. Share the Word of God. We've been divinely appointed, divinely assigned. Constantly people need to be taught the Word of God. And consistently people need to be taught the whole truth, the Word of God. And then lastly, when you're there, we've got to remember and recognize who's in control. God's in control. Did you notice this? Remember through this passage as we read it, it was God that initiated this whole event that we read here in Exodus chapter 24. It was God who was in control of all that was said and all that was done. God's the one who called Moses up to the mount. God's the one who gave the commandments and the tables of stone to Moses. God caused this glorious smoke and fire to inhabit and just uncover and engulf the whole top of that mountain that Moses went up into and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, those days that Moses went up to that mountain, all that smoke and fire that all the other Israelites saw, Moses wouldn't dare set a foot to go up to the top of that mountain until God invited him. Listen, you got to remember who's in control here. Now, a good thing to remember in our nation, God's still in control. Amen. It may not appear like it. It may not look like it. You may not think so, but I'm going to tell you, God's still in control. God's never been out of control. He's never going to be out of control. He wasn't in this particular event. He's not today, and never, ever shall he be out of control. God's the one who calls the shots. God's the one who gives the commands. God's the one who's supposed to get all the glory. Amen? He brings the events to pass so he can get the glory. And you know who gets the blessings? We do. Just remember, God's the one in control. Some of that same blessedness Moses experienced. I sometimes try just in my mind's eye, just imagine. I know we can't, but just try to imagine what it was like for Moses to be up in that fiery cloud of smoke, alone with God and speaking face to face, so to speak, one-on-one with God, the creator of the universe. I can't imagine how it would be to be alone with God and literally speak to God and God speak to me. He speaks to me through the Word today. He speaks to me by the Holy Spirit today. He speaks to me through other preachers today. He speaks to me through the church. He speaks to me in a lot of ways. But the sweetest, most glorious fellowship I have ever had with God was one-on-one. When I was alone in a certain place at a certain time and the glory of the Lord broke in on my heart and I knew without a doubt it was God. I knew it was Him and His presence in my life. And there's nothing sweeter than to know you're with God and He's with you and He's speaking to you and you're doing what He wants you to do and you're being what He wants you to be. Do you think God's not calling His church today to be there? Yes. Beloved, listen, we shouldn't have to try to call up revivals or work down revivals. You can't call revivals up anyway. You can't work up any revival. We shouldn't have to be revived. We ought to live in a constant state of revival because of who God is and what He's done, what He's doing in our lives. He wants a church to be there. Is our church there? Is any church you know of there today? Are we there as individuals? We've got to be there first, and the church will be there too. We need to be. Do we want to be? We can be. And listen, we need to do anything we need to do and be anything we need to be there where God wants us to be. If our church wants to be there, we'll have revival, I promise you. If I want to have revival, if you want to have revival in your heart and life, you just be there. And I promise you, God's already there. Amen? God was already there before Moses ever got there. God's already here today. God just wants and yearns to bless His people and give us revival if we'll just obey Him and do what they said they were going to do. Oh, Moses, we're going to do anything God wants us to do. We're going to obey everything God tells us to do. We hear God, Moses. We hear, and we're going to be obedient. Didn't last days. Not weeks, days. Complained against God's man. Complained against Moses. Complained against Aaron. Complained against God. Listen, we need to learn to start being obedient to God again. Because you see, He's the one in control. Those 70 elders, and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and all the others, even Joshua, nobody went up on that mountain but Moses. You know why? God called him and him alone. God's calling his church today. In these last days, God's calling his church. Church, be there for me. And I'll give you commands. I'll give you victory. I'll give you blessings. Individual Christians, we need to be there. You know the good thing about it? Listen to me. I don't mean to be facetious, but I'm being honest. If I'm there where God wants me, whether you are or not, God will bless me. If our church is where God wants it to be, and God can bless us, it doesn't matter if any other church in Cabarrus County, anywhere else, wants to be blessed of God, we can be blessed of God. It's just a matter of being obedient, being there. God's calling. It's not that God's not calling us. He is calling us. But we need to be responding as individuals and as a church. And when we're there, you see what happened with Moses? When Moses came down off that mountain, you know the story goes on. Came back down, the people saw Moses. There was such a glow and aurora around Moses. He had been with God, and he was just shining with the glory of God all about him. And it was just so bright, the people couldn't stand it. You know what they said? Moses, put a veil over you. We can't take it. God will kill us. So Moses had to veil himself because of the glory of God. He had been with God so near. Listen, God wants to share his glory today with his church. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And he will share his glory today. And people could look at us and say, well, what's happened to those people? There's something good about them, something different about them. If it's not God, it's not worth investigating. Amen. And Lord, I thank you today that you're the same God today that you were the day of Moses went up that mountain. You're always going to be the same God who's in control of all events of life, our lives, and all the lives of everyone in this world. And Lord, I know your heart must yearn to bless your people when you revise and cause us to remember all the good things you've done for us. And Lord, you're calling us afresh, I believe, today, in these last days, to come up to be with you, that you can bless us and make us a blessing to others, would be our prayer. I ask you, Lord, to help our church to be there where you want us to be. I ask you, Lord, to help me as an individual, help others as they pray along with us, help us as individuals to be there, that you can bless us and make us a blessing to others, and you'll get the glory, honor, and praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, amen. So, are you going to, or are you willing to, do anything, be anything, to be there for God? Wow, what a question. Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We are open for services 10:45 on Sundays, that's tomorrow, and also 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. If you'd like to get directions, they're located on our website, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the address, 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, Kannapolis area. We're near Weinkauf Elementary School on the Kannapolis side. We actually do have a revival coming up. Our revival is set for September the 19th, that's a Sunday, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and maybe longer if we get a big, huge crowd. Please, if you don't know Jesus, even if you do know Jesus, come out, join us, praise him, bring a friend, bring 10 friends, bring 100 friends. This is so important. We're supposed to store up treasures in heaven. Can you imagine the treasures you'll get if you bring other people to Christ? Get directions on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. You can also watch the live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.